Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sarvayone Shikantaya Mutaya Sambhavantaya Tazam Brahma Matyone Rambhaji Aham Bijapratapta. It should be understood in all species of life was Sunakunti. It should be understood that all species of life was Sunakunti are made possible by birth in this material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. In this verse it is clearly explained that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the original father of all living entities. The living entities are combinations of the material nature and the spiritual nature. Such living entities are seen not only on this planet, but on every planet. Even on the highest, where Brahma is situated. Everywhere there are living entities. Within the earth, there are living entities. Even within water and within fire. All these appearances are due to Mother, material nature, and Krishna's seed-giving process. The purport is that the material world is impregnated with living entities who come out in various forms at the time of creation according to their past deeds. So here, Lord Krishna is explaining Sarva Yonisha Kuntaya. In all species of life of Sunakunti, Murtaya, in all the different forms, that Krishna says Bija Prada Pita. So Bija Prata means that I am the seed-giving father. So these are some of the mysteries Krishna is explaining to Arjuna, the mysteries of creation. That just like in modern technology, we are very amazed how people can create microscopic, things like computerization. They can install so much potency inside a chip. Now we call it a blue chip, a computer chip. And many people are amazed at how things, just like the original computer, is very, very massive. Gradually, as they advance in science, they are able to do the same thing with a smaller computer, but can do the same thing. In other words, when the potency to create is more refined, then it works in more mysterious ways or more wonderful ways. So similarly, Krishna says that within everything I am the seed-giving father. Everything has seed, just like we have all come out of a seed. And also, if you take the gigantic banyan tree, big tree, so it is also coming out of a very tiny seed, small seed. So we see that, just like if you have oranges or lemons or whatever, there is one orange, but inside the orange there is the potency for so many other oranges. Actually, from one orange you can take the seeds and you can grow another orange tree, and so many more oranges will come, and from that tree so many more oranges will come, and this will go on infinite. Because actually, if you study the process of creation, within every created thing there is the seed to continue. Just like Prabhupada gives the example that if you took a jumbo jet and one jumbo jet crossed with another jumbo jet, and you had a baby jumbo. So just like if airline companies, if they wanted to increase their stock, then they could have male jumbos and female jumbos and baby jumbos. But unfortunately, man does not have the potency. He does not have the creative potency. What we see in this world is imitation. The living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So because we are part and parcel of Krishna, we have the same qualities as Krishna. We have the quality to create. Everybody wants to create. Just like a father, he wants to create offspring. And the scientist, they want to create. The engineer, he wants to create. The architect, he wants to create. The baker, he wants to create. The woman in the kitchen, she wants to create. So in order to create, you need ingredients. You see, we need ingredients, because actually everything is there. Everything is there within nature, just like this house. Originally this house was in the earth. See, it was in the earth. It wasn't here. But someone, they used their brain. They used their intelligence, their mind, to bring the earth, mold it into bricks, mix earth with water, and then mix it again with fire. And then from this intelligence, then so many varieties of buildings are there. See, from this basic intelligence. So in the Bhagavatam, Kapila Dev, Kapila Muni is explaining that the different seed ingredients to the material world. He's explaining to his mother, Devahuti, that actually this material creation is there in seed form, just like these elements. They're very scientific. Vedic philosophy is very scientific. Krishna says there's earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. These constitute my separated energies. So these separated energies are working in a very wonderful way. And here Kapila Muni, Kapila Dev is explaining to his mother that the different types of what is the actual, if you like, because scientists, they also try to find the fundamental principles. This is called the fundamental principles of material nature. We have to find the fundamentals, the fundamental principles. This is the study of cause and effect. Just like my body, your body is an effect of some cause, isn't it? And the difference between the human and the animal is that the human has the ability to find out the cause. That is the whole meaning of intelligence. Because the whole meaning of intelligence is to find out basically what is going on. So many, we can see the effect. Just like a doctor, he can see the effect of an illness, but he has to find the cause. So similarly, the human intelligence is there because we can see the effect of our lives. What is the effect? Everyone is acting according to certain sort of impulses. Arjuna also asked this question to Krishna. He said, what is this force, this impulse, this type of energy that's pushing? You see, in the material world, everyone is being, they're being pushed by the different modes of material nature. And here Kapila is explaining the cause of the conditioned soul's material body and senses, and the senses presiding deity, the demigods, is material nature. This is understood by learned men. The feelings of happiness and the stress of the soul, who is transcendental by nature, are caused by the spirit soul himself. So the Prabhupada explains in the purport that in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord descends this material world. He comes as a person by his own energy, Atma Maya. He is not forced by any superior energy. He comes by his own will. And this can be called his pastime, a lila. But here is clearly stated that the conditioned soul is forced to take a certain type of body and senses under the three modes of material nature. The body is not received according to his own choice. In other words, the conditioned soul has no free choice. He has to accept a certain type of body according to his karma. So prakriti kriyamanani, guna karma. That according to our guna and karmas, we get various types of bodies. So in the material energy, there are subtle and gross things going on. Inside you, there's the subtle activities of mind, intelligence, and false ego. And because of your subtle activities, then these are manifested onto the gross plane. So when they manifest onto the gross plane, then by the mercy of the demigods, because the demigods, there is three things going on in this material world. There's the living entity, there is the senses. The living entity is manifested through senses, and there's the objects of senses. So this interaction between senses and sense objects is the cause of karma. Everyone knows that according to your objects. In other words, the gross environment is dictating the subtle environment. That's why Vedic civilization is very scientific. The women are kept very pure, the children are kept pure, the family is kept very pure. Everything should be pure on the gross plane so that the subtle plane, the subtle mind, intelligence, and ego can remain serene, tranquil. It can remain in the mode of goodness. And that's why in Hindu families or in Indian families, they're very meticulous and particular about who they associate with, how they associate, how their children are behaving, isn't it? In every family, they want to see that the children come up very pure. Even if someone is a debauchee, some of these people, they're drinking, smoking, or chasing women. But they don't want their children to be like that, isn't it? Even you see people, even in Hindu families, Indian families, they also go to casinos and drink and this and that. But they wouldn't like that their children are there, isn't it? They wouldn't like to go to a casino and find their son is doing the same thing. So this is the principle that we want to, this is called dharma. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. In society we want to establish dharma because we want to keep society pure. We want to keep the gross material energy under control. Because Krishna says there's karma, kamesha, krodesha, there's karma, there's lust turning into different types of frustration and anger. This is the most mahapapa, is the most sinful enemy of the living entity. So the various types of conditions in human society, you'll find that they always have this inclination towards religiosity or dharma. Because they know that by keeping some morality, keeping some pure atmosphere, then life is much more tranquil, peaceful. You see? But the Bhagavad says, Savai Pamsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Yaroksade Hoitaki Aprati Yataya Yapma Supersedati, that the highest principle of dharma is by that which man attains to transcendental loving service to the glorious Lord. This is the highest principle of dharma. It is not enough just to keep your family pure, just to keep the material world pure, because the material world is always shifting. This is what we call sub-religion. You see, it is religion, but it is not the higher. Savai Pamsam Paradharma. The sages of Naimisharanya, they are explaining that, Siddha Goswami is explaining, that the highest principle of religious principle is to attain to transcendental. In other words, to obtain to transcendental, to the transcendental plane, transcendental loving service unto the glorious Lord. In other words, that the real benefit of the soul is not to simply involve himself with making various adjustments in the material conditions. Because the material conditions, yes, we must make adjustments, but the adjustments must be for a purpose. You see, it must be a purpose. The purpose is not, the human form life is not to actually maintain our station, to maintain our situation in this material world. We are all passengers of this material world. We are coming through. We are passing through. We are created by the seed, just like Krishna has impregnated all the living entities into the material world. And they are all into various types of bodies. Some are in high bodies, some are in mediocre bodies, and some are in low bodies. You see, this high, middle, and low principle is there in everything. Just like some people have a high quality lifestyle, a mediocre lifestyle, and a low quality. Some people have, their consciousness is high, some are mediocre, some are low. So this Sattvam Rajas Tamayati Guna Prakriti Sambhavad. Krishna says that these qualities of material nature, goodness, passion and ignorance, they are always intermixing. So the combination of senses and sense objects bring about amazing interreactions of cause and effect. So the living entity in the material world, he has a material body, and the material body is made up of different senses. The senses of seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, then the active organs. You're taking one element, but you're making so many varieties, you see, according to people's taste. So according to the taste, the demigods create various varieties. The living entities have various types. This is Adi Devaka, Adi Bhautika, Adi Atmika. That according to the different desires of the living entity, therefore the devas, they are creating various types of planets, various types, just like on this planet there are so many types of variegatedness. If you go in the water, there's varieties in the water, there's varieties of fishes and mammals and different types of mouths and different types of bodies, different types of eyes. Just like there's one fish, someone was telling me, he has a little hook and on the end he has some bait. So when the other fish come to get the bait, he eats it. You see? So this is the, as it says in the Gita, the material nature is endlessly mutable. There's always endless mutations and permutations. So there's various types of central activity. The basic principle is the same. The fish is looking for something in his belly. So nature is creating all sorts of varieties to trap. Just like one animal, he can trap another by various types of power. He may be more faster, he may be more intelligent or more crafty or more violent. So if you study though, the basic principle in all of these varieties is to give some pleasure to the senses. Basically to give some satisfaction to senses. That everybody wants to make basically the senses happy. We want to give some pleasure to the senses. People like to, just like if you go to different countries, you see that they listen to different types of music. In Arab countries they listen to Arab music. They're mad after it. Even though it sounds to an outsider may sound appalling, but they can listen for hours and hours and days. And then if you go to India, they have a different types of sounds they listen to. And in Europe, you go, they have rock music and guitar music and so many. And some people, they hate it. One man's food is another man's poison. This is the principle. That one man is, because this is called conditioning. You see, if you're born into a Gujarati family, then you have Gujarati taste. If you're born in a Punjabi family, Punjabi taste. A Bengali has Bengali taste. An Englishman has English taste. Or Irish taste. It's not that the so-called freedom is there, that everyone has freedom. Like this idea that everyone has free taste. No, taste is conditional. In the material world, everyone is conditioned by various types of taste. They're according to their birth. According to their birth and their karma. And according to the guna, the quality of nature. So there are various types. As soon as you're born into a particular family, you have a particular type of body. Just like your car. If you are in a good family, you may get a good car. And if you're in a poor family, you may get an old banger, as we call it in England, an old heap of junk. Depends on, you know. So when you're sitting in the good car, even if you're a poor man, you feel very wealthy. You sit in a Rolls Royce car, isn't it? You feel very, oh, I'm Rolls Royce. Even you forget that you didn't have any money. Sitting in there. So this is the nature of consciousness. That consciousness from the moment of conception in the womb, immediately that destiny is there. Destiny. From that moment that child takes birth in that womb. Because the living entity takes shelter. In particular, just like Krishna says, I am that seed. So Krishna is the seed-giving father. He is putting that seed within the... Actually, although materially the father is doing it, but without the mercy of Krishna, that child cannot enter there. And once the child is there, then he will grow up in that family. If he's born into a beggar's family, he will be in unfortunate condition. If he's in a very rich family, he will have very fortunate condition materially. He will have good looks, high wealth, high parentage, good education, good quality. But these are all according to birth. So therefore, intelligent person can understand that actually I am born into various types of conditions according to my previous activities in the material world. So now, let me be very careful about my activities. You see, this is intelligence, that I should be very careful, because now what do I do? What do I do? In this human form of life, as it says in the Vedanta, Tata Brahma Jignasya, that now time is to go to Brahman. We have gone to all these other things. We have chased after these combinations of earth, water, fire, air, ether for so many lifetimes. Just like in the material world, we are constantly being dragged around by the unbridled senses. When the senses are not controlled, we see wherever you go in this world, people are mad after, chasing after so many varieties of sensual objects in so many different forms. Everyone is trapped by these things. Even the great Julius Caesar was captured by the moving of the eyebrows of Cleopatra. This is the nature of the material world. In all the different species, of course, powerful energy is there of the attraction between the male to female, or the senses to the sense object. And the objects are many, many, particularly in Kali Yuga. We are becoming more and more advanced in creating different objects. Just like when we go to this pop-in downstairs, they have these machines and gadgets. People are sitting there for days on these little machines, looking at these little things going beep, 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 like that. Total waste of time, waste of their existence. But some fascination is there, created by the mind. So the mind, Krishna says, is the greatest friend or the greatest enemy. The mind that is allowed to wander carelessly in the material world is very dangerous, because you may become attracted to anything. There is all sorts of dangers in the material world. So the mind, when the mind is not controlled, that is the whole basis of Vedic civilization, was to control the mind. So as to actually direct the mind to Brahman. We have to direct the mind to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is the Parabrahman. He is the source of Brahman. And as Krishna says, within that Brahman, everything is resting. So this material creation is all resting on Krishna's energy. Only this energy, Krishna said, this is my inferior energy. So we have no business with the inferior energy. The inferior energy has nothing to do with the soul. Therefore, the whole thing, as is saying here in the purport, that there are two types of energy. There is the superior and the inferior. Actually, the inferior energy is being supported by the superior. So intelligent man, he can see, just like this country is supported by the government. If you understand the point, that there is some intelligence behind the country. So if you want to get things done, you will have to influence the government, isn't it? That's why people, powerful people, they work on the government, isn't it? They don't go after the baker. They go after the heartbeat behind something. What is the actual? Just like if you have, if you want to influence, you have to find out what is the behind that thing. That is the whole study of something. So behind the inferior energy is superior energy. So that is the meaning of Brahmana. Brahmana means one who absorbs himself in Brahman, superior energy. Therefore he is superior. Brahmana, there is Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. But the Brahmana is one who absorbs himself in Brahman. Therefore the Gita says, Brahma Bhuta Pasanatma Nasochati Nakanchati. That when one is on Brahman, there is no more Nasochati Nakanchati. What is Nasochati Nakanchati? It means hankering and lamenting. We have to get off this plane of hankering and lamenting. We are endlessly hankering, and what is the other side of hankering? Lamenting. Because the living entity can never have what he wants in the material world. Because he's not the controller, he's the controlled. Therefore we are always at the mercy of material energy. Always. If material energy gives us something, we can take it. We are beggars. And if material energy takes away, we are crying. This is always our situation. We are coming here, we come into the material world with nothing. We go out with nothing. In between, we are simply beggars. We are at the mercy of God. Sometimes He will give us a lot of money. Sometimes He will take every penny away. You see, if He wants, He can take. He can make you just like Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. They were big, big ministers. Shah. And the Prabhupada said Sanatana Goswami is practically like a prime minister. Very powerful man. Rupa Goswami. But they became mendicants. They were living under a tree. They met Lord Chaitanya. They met Lord Chaitanya Prayag. One would think that they met Lord Chaitanya. He is the avatar of Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of God. And by meeting Him, they lost everything. You see? They became beggars. They're living under trees with loincloth. So, therefore, sometimes Krishna's blessings come in strange ways. Many people, when they look at God, they want blessings. God, give me this, give me that. But actually, if God is very kind to you, He takes everything away. Because He wants to reduce your attachment. You see, it's not a kindness to be always burdened in the material world. Because everything you touch in this world is dukkhalaya. Dukkhalaya means it will give you some distress. Everything you touch, it will give you some distress. And people, the more they're accumulating, they're thinking, oh, I'm becoming more and more advanced. But this is not advancement. They're becoming more and more headaches. Just like the story of the sage, one yogi, he was told by his guru, you sit there and meditate. And so he sat there. But he had a possession. It was his loincloth. So he was hanging it up, of course, and he was getting eaten by rats. They were coming and eating him. So he became very frustrated. He said, these rats are eating my loincloth. So he said, what will I do? So he asked some advice from some of his disciples. People were coming to visit him. One said, why don't you get a cat? Said, oh, that's a good idea. If I get a cat, it'll chase the rat. Now keep away the rat. So he got a cat and he chased the rat. But then the cat was hungry all the time. So he thought, how am I going to keep this cat here? He won't stay. If I don't look after the cat, he won't stay and chase the rats. So he decided, someone said, why don't you get a cow? I'll give you a cow. And then when I give you a cow, you can feed the cat and the cat will chase the rat. So he got the cow and then he was getting milk for the cow, from the cow to feed the cat to chase the rat. But then he thought, oh, how am I going to look after this cow? I'm supposed to meditate. Guruji told me to meditate. Now I have a cow and I have a cat. And it chases me. So someone said, why don't you get a wife? And she'll look after the cow. The cow will feed the cat, and the cat will chase the rat. You're okay. He said, oh, maybe a good idea. So he got a wife. And the wife was looking after the cow to feed the cat to chase the rat. But then the wife, she wanted children. So he thought, oh, what am I going to do now? Here I have a wife, and if she goes away, the cow will not get the milk, the cat will leave, and it's the same problem as that. So he had children. When his guru came to him, he was amazed. This man had a house, he had a wife, he had children, he had so many things. So this is the nature of the material world. Everywhere you move, it creates another problem. So Vedic civilization is not this Western idea that money, money, give me money, honey, honey, chasing, chasing. This is the wrong idea. Actually, brahminical life means to live very simple. Simple living and high thinking. Because life is very short. We come here for a very short time and we have to leave. We're not staying here. This is not the place for us to stay. Just like if you get on a train, you know you have to get off. Why? You know, if you get on a train and you start making curtains and carpet and bringing color television and this and that, people will think you're mad. They say, what is this lunacy? But similarly, in the material world, we are here for a very short time. People think it's a very long time because this is Maya. Maya means the illusion, illusionary energy. But actually, we're here for a few minutes. And therefore, while we're here, we should take great advantage. Here, Krishna has come in Vedic Shastras. He has come in the form of Vaishnavas, the deities, the temple. Everything is there to bring us to the plane of Brahman. We don't have to give up things. It's not a question of giving up. It's a question of understanding Brahman. How Brahman is working. How Krishna is working. What is the nature of Krishna? What is the qualities of Krishna? So, we have to situate ourselves on the higher plane. The higher plane means we have to enter into Krishna's eternal lila. The lila in the material world, as Prabhupada says here in the purport, it is forced upon us. It is a forced lila. This body we have gotten by our designated consciousness. Designated consciousness is not free consciousness. The living entity originally belongs to free consciousness. Just like if you stand up in a room in one place, you want to go somewhere, you want to move. This is freedom. The nature of consciousness is free, a free agent. But in the material world, consciousness is conditioned by what do you call it, force. The conditions are there. Birth, it's a condition. Old age is a condition. Disease, it's a condition. Death is a condition. So therefore, we have to situate ourselves in our eternal lila with Krishna. And this is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami. All of us, we have our eternal nitya lila. So this is why it's called Sanatan Dham. Not material dharm, just like this, God, give me this, God, give me that, give me this, give me that. This is not dharma. Dharma means, Sanatana Dharma means the function of the soul is actually to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, to understand Krishna, to understand our relationship with Krishna. So in this lifetime, we can do that by devotional service. We can offer. Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palam Toyam Yomi Bhakti Priyas. You simply begin your devotional service in this material body. We can understand that I'm very unfortunate, I have a material body, but let me make the best use of a bad bargain. Use the body to serve Krishna. You can do so many nice services for Krishna. Because Krishna, he is very kind. He is always hankering that the living entity, because we are serving Krishna in the material world, but we're serving his gross elements. We are serving his material energy. We are serving indirectly. Krishna says, this is my separated energy, O Arjuna. This energy we are serving. We are serving, just like these bodies are made up of earth and water, etc. So we are serving this body, we are serving other bodies. They're all made up of the same combination of matter. So therefore we are serving indirectly. So not that we should stop that service, but we should understand that this is inferior plane. Let me engage in the higher service. Higher service means let me engage directly in Krishna Seva. So in the family, in the house, you should have deities. The deities should be the center of the house. You should make them nice prasadam, do nice kirtan like we're doing, regularly have kirtan, read from the shastras. That way your children will become situated in Brahman. That will save them. Otherwise, simply the modern tendency is to think that if I situate them with lots of money, then they're protected. No. So many rich people have gone to hell. It's not a wealth that saves you, or some sort of material security. But actually, if we become bhaktas, if our family become devotees, if we constantly hear nitya, as we say, naista prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya. That every nitya means always hearing the Srimad Bhagavat, always hearing this knowledge, because this knowledge is food for the intelligence. We have to feed, just like we're feeding our stomach, we have to feed our intelligence. Because that thing needs the food of Srimad Bhagavatam so as to save us from becoming victimized. Otherwise, as Krishna says in the Gita, one has to control the lower self by the higher self. And thus with spiritual strength, one can conquer this insatiable enemy of lust. So the lower senses, they are the tongue, the ears, the eyes, the belly, the genitals, all these things. They are lower senses. And higher than that is the mind. So by the mind, this is the meaning of Goswami. Swami means controller and Go means senses. So Krishna, he is Rishikesha Kesha Sevana. He is the master and lord of all of our senses. So if we are serving him nicely, he will free us from this lusty activity of the material world. And then we can control the lower senses. We can control the mind. Then we can move on to the intellectual plane. The plane of Aniruddha. The Lord is in the heart as Aniruddha. He is directing the intelligence. Krishna says, I am in the heart. I am directing the wanderings of all living beings. From me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. So Krishna is there as Aniruddha in the heart. He is guiding the living entity to bring the living entity to this Vasudeva platform of pure consciousness. And then we can control the intelligence by pure spiritual realization. This is called Vijnana. So Vijnana means when Vijnana becomes realized through Vijnana, then we can control our material bodies, our material activities, our material life, and then we become situated in the Brahma Bhuta Vasanapana. And the quality of that, there is no more hankering or lamenting. The devotee becomes situated in perfect happiness. And the symptom of that is that the devotee has no hankering for anything. He has unlimited hankering to please Krishna, but for himself there is no hankering. So we can utilize everything for Krishna's service, and that way everything becomes auspicious. Everything becomes auspicious, because as soon as you use Krishna's energy to please Krishna, to serve Krishna, then you become free. Kurvaneva karmani jivashek daham samaha. As it says in the Upanishads, that one can go on working for hundreds of years if he works in this way. What is that way? In devotional service. One works in devotional service, then it doesn't mean that you stop everything. It means you actually act 100 times more, but you do it for on the Brahman plane. On the spiritual plane, that is the plane of activity. The material plane is dead matter. Just like these instruments, they're dead matter, but we're activating them with superior energy. We're activating them. So matter is gross, it is dead, but we're activating it. The soul is activated. So therefore the soul is an active principle, not a dead principle. So devotees are very active. They should be very dynamic. The nature of spirit is dynamic. Arjuna was worshipped for being dynamic. Hanuman is worshipped for being dynamic. You see, all the great devotees, they are worshipped for being dynamic. Arjuna was very dynamic. Krishna says, do thou fight. He didn't say go and sleep or go to the mountains or go to the cave. He said, do thou fight for the sake of fighting. But don't consider happiness nor distress. This is the point. No consideration of happiness and distress. In other words, there's no impurity. I'm not worried whether I get a good result or a bad result. For you, Krishna, I'm doing. That's why the gopis of Braja, they're the most worshipped of all of Krishna's devotees, because they sacrificed everything for Krishna. They sacrificed their family life, their reputation, their situation, anything for Krishna, they would sacrifice. So, very difficult to understand, but even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was, of course, incarnation of Krishna, the most renounced, the most strictest sannyasi. He wouldn't even have a woman come within yards, and yet he worshipped the love of the gopis for Krishna, because the nature of gopi love is that they're totally and utterly surrendered to Krishna. Krishna says, your love for me is so great that I can never repay. Even though he is God, he's thinking like that. So therefore, we have to become situated on that platform of pure devotional service and engage all of these outward organs, these material senses, and our inner organs, the mind, and all of these senses in the service of Rishikesha. That's why Krishna is called Govinda. Because if you surrender your senses to the go means senses, Vinda means one who can satisfy the senses. He is the Govinda, he is the one who is giving us the pleasure, just like foodstuff. It is coming from Krishna. These varieties of nature, they're coming from Krishna. Krishna says, I am the seed-giving father. I have created these varieties. So if he's the creator of the varieties, then how much variety is in him? If all of these varieties of creation are created by Krishna, Krishna said, he's not a liar. Krishna is not lying. He's saying, I am the seed-giving father. So if they're his varieties, then how much variety is in him? Just think, how much variety is in him? So this variety of the material world is very stale for the devotee, because that spiritual variety, therefore, that is why when we see the devotees, they are very simple, but at the same time, they are situated in the highest plane of the, what do you call it, Krishna is called the, he is that, Akila Rasamrita Murti. He is the reservoir of all rasa. All pleasure is coming from him. Therefore he is Govindam. And therefore Lord Brahma says, Govindam Adipurushitam Tamaham Bhajami. So anyway, we'll stop here. Is there anyone have any questions? Or points? Any questions at all?
You're saying that when a living being is born into the world, he's born along with his destiny. So could you explain how we're in the material world, we're sort of predestined, but at the same time we are creating new karma?
There are different types of karma. Karma that is lying as seed. Seed means that in the heart there is karma coming up in the seed form. And there is that karma which is, fructifying. It's like a fruit. It's fructifying. So that karma is just about to come up. And then there's that karma which is manifesting at the present moment, and then there's the karma that we're actually engaged in. So karma is like different levels of fructification. It's like a flower. It's in seed, it's growing, and then it manifests in the form of activity. So that's why in the heart there are, the seeds are there, and they are watered by activity. Just like many people, they find sometimes they do something, oh, why did I do that? They're embarrassed, because it is from some previous karmic activity that they've done. Therefore, it's like if you do something now, later on that'll again cause you to act. It becomes seed. It's like, that's why television is very dangerous, because you're seeing something, later on that thing will make you act. You see, very dangerous. It's like your mind is like a camera, you're taking photographs. So later on when you look at the photos, again your memory is activated, isn't it? So the mind is like a camera, it is photographing in the material world so many things, and they become the seeds for new activities. So that karma is also there, that the interaction between material nature and the living entity. So as you're acting in the material world, just like now, I may be doing something. So I'm doing that, I'm getting the reaction for that, but I'm also creating a new seed. You understand? That's why activities are so dangerous. Suppose I'm engaging in illicit sex life, and later on again I'll be pushed to do that thing. You see? Because the nature of the living entity is that he has no higher taste. He is working on, in the material world, we are working on lower taste. Lower taste means our experiences. So we are in conditioned life under certain conditions, just like an elephant. An elephant is attracted to the objects which attract the elephant, isn't it? It's not, an elephant doesn't start behaving like a butterfly. He's an elephant. A butterfly is a butterfly. A crow is a crow. A dog is a dog. See, you don't see a dog suddenly behaving like a giraffe. They have their conditioned nature. Everyone has their conditioned nature. And according to that, they're doing more activities, and again they're doing. This is called chewing the chew. They are constantly chewing the same old thing over and over again. So karma is a very, very intricate thing. The different types of fructification and manifestation of karmic actions. But the basic principle is the interaction going on between consciousness and the senses. There are three things. There is the consciousness, there is the senses, which are the instruments of consciousness. Just like thinking, feeling, and willing comes through your senses, isn't it? So the senses are acting, and then there's the objects. So there's the doer, the instruments, and the object. So these interactions between the demigods, they create the object, and they're the lords of the senses. So what's happened is that the demigods create wonderful varieties. That's why people want to go to heaven. They want to enjoy beautiful varieties of objects, isn't it? And then the senses are the instruments, according to your instruments. Now if you get good instruments, you can have good pleasure. Just like the hog, he hasn't got very good instruments, so he's in the sewage. He ends up eating the sewage, because his senses are not very good. He's a big nose, and he has a big fat belly. So basic principle is there, eating, sleeping, mating, fending. But according to the various varieties, 8,400,000 species, there's so many varieties of different types of sensual activity. But the basic principle is the absorption of the senses with the sense objects. And as long as that thing is going on, the soul remains in a bewildered state, because he's always been forced to act by the different modes, because the modes of nature are the different qualities of interaction. Sometimes you're acting in goodness, and therefore your objects tend to be good. Someone who's situating goodness, he surrounds himself, just like the swan surrounds himself with the beautiful transparent lake and the trees and things. You don't find a swan in your garbage trying to get some rubbish. So, but when one is impassioned, then he surrounds himself with passionate things. Just like in Western countries, they have, you know, high-tech, things. They have big houses, big skyscraper buildings, fast cars, motorways. Their whole life is so passionate because that is their consciousness and passion. And then those who are ignorant, you can see they're ignorant. They're just lying, getting intoxicated, sleeping, eating, having some sex. So it's very scientific how it is working. So therefore, generally, passionate activities, people think they're making progress because they're accumulating more and more and more and more and more. But their progress is not there because they don't understand that they're servants of passion. They're servants of that energy. Therefore, those in ignorance, they're too sleepy and dull-headed. So only in the mode of goodness can you rise up. So that's why the principle of Vedic civilization was at least to bring the human society to the mode of goodness, and from goodness you can go higher to the spiritual plane. But the trouble with the mode of goodness is people become conditioned by happiness. You get stuck there, you see? Just like a man becomes victimized, say, by overindulgence in eating. So he may go to get cured, so he has to go on a diet. But as soon as he gets cured, he thinks, oh, I feel great again, okay. And then he's back eating. You see? So this is the problem. His problem, he got rid of, but as soon as he got rid of it, he thought, I have no problem. So again, he indulges in the same thing. So happiness is like that. You get miserable because passion is miserable and ignorance is miserable. Goodness brings you some pleasure, some happiness. So people, what happens though, is when they get that happiness, they get stuck there. And they think, oh, I'm all right now. And then again, because their nature is moving, they fall down again into the lower conditions, up and down, like a cork on the ocean, up and down. According to the waves, the cork goes up, it comes down. Goes up, comes down. The living entity is moving up through the species, coming down through the species. Moving up, coming down. Millions and millions and millions of births is moving like that. And then finally, Krishna can pick him up when he surrenders. Therefore, Krishna says, Sarva Dharma. Why does he say Sarva Dharma? He could say sarva drinking, sarva smoking, give up all your drinking and smoking. No, he says dharma, give up your dharma. Because dharma also, even on the plane of dharma, there is the problem that people become conditioned by good situation, happy situation. So Krishna says even that dharma you have to give up, surrender to me, that is beyond dharma, that is called sanatan dharma. So generally in society we see in these societies, they create a nice arrangement, you know, don't hit your neighbor, don't steal your neighbor's goods, don't encroach upon one another, they have good banking systems so your money's safe, they have a religious system so that you don't cheat, don't lie, don't pilfer, they get rid of prostitution, all these things they keep away. But unfortunately, they don't understand that this is the basic principle. It's not the higher principle. Higher principle, you have to go beyond that. You have to go beyond this good material situation. Okay, I think we've finished it. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Pleasure.